Well, this morning is what we traditionally refer to as Laetare Sunday. That's where I get to wear pink. It's kind of like Laetare means to rejoice, right? Because we're over halfway through Lent, which is amazing to me. Lent has gone extremely fast. I don't know about for you, but for me, it's just blown by. And the readings today, the readings all focus on sight. And that God sees differently than man sees. Right? It says that in the first reading with the election, if you will, of King David. And we hear about this man who is blind in the gospel. And I've often said in the years past, you know, I said, we are all like the man born blind, right? With all of our sin and our struggle and our weakness, it blinds us to many things. But I don't think that's the right wording. We're not like the man born blind. We are the man born blind. And you all know, you know, the great song, Amazing Grace, right? When it says a great line, I was blind and now I see. Because sin blinds us, and it is Jesus who cures the blindness. Grace, conversion, faith allows us to see and see differently than the world would see. Remember the original sin of Adam and Eve. What's the first effect of it, right? The first effect is they hide themselves. They don't want God to see them. The second effect, they sew loincloths. Why? Because there's something wrong with their sight. They no longer see each other as a gift. They see each other as a means to use. Sin is so damaging to our sight. I remember a buddy of mine a few years ago who converted to Christianity, and he was far from Christianity. And he had a great line. I asked him, I said, you know, what's it like now living for Jesus? And on a dime, he said this: it's like I'm seeing the world for what it truly is for the first time. His eyes were opened. Archbishop Fulton Sheen famously said, sin is the only thing we don't learn more about by doing. I'll say that again. Sin is the only thing we don't learn more about by doing. What does that mean? It means the more we sin, the more blind we become, the more enslaved we become. Right? Our sins of greed reduce people to a means to an end for economic gain. Our sins of lust reduce people to a means for an end of pleasure. Our sins of gluttony disrespect our body that God has given to us. Our sin of pride convinces us that we don't need God, or worse, that God is in fact our enemy. And all of these sins blind us to the dignity of others, our own dignity, and the truth of God and his love for us and for all humanity. And if these go unchecked, if there is unbridled sin, if you will, it will blind an entire culture. In fact, it has blinded entire cultures. Atheistic communism in the last 100 years, you guys, in 100 years, is responsible for the deaths of over 150 million men and women. 150. And this isn't just in war. This is people they murdered in the name of the state. Because the state, the government, became more important than God and his law. Not to mention, I don't know if you know this fact, there's a lot of martyrs in the Catholic Church, right? A lot. I think there's over 100 million martyrs, close to. 45 million of those people died in the last 100 years. That is more than all the other centuries combined, you guys. It's more than the Roman persecutions. Because a society without God is uncivilized. They're barbarians. Without Jesus, we begin to do things that are inhumane to one another. Because Jesus leads us to the truth of who God is and leads humanity to a more humane society. Because the law of Christianity is love. Now, not every Christian lives that. I know that. But a Christian society will necessarily be more loving, more peaceful, and more humane. It is because of Christianity that the world was civilized. And as we begin to push Christianity out of the picture, as we begin to push God out of the picture, as we break down the nuclear family, we just become more violent. And if you can't see that, you're blind. It's everywhere in our country. The similarities, and this is not a homily on politics. This is a homily on opening your eyes. The similarities between Marxist ideologies and Marxist regimes of the past and modern day America are staggering. So staggering that you would have to be blind not to see it. You know what the three marks of Marxist ideology is? Number one, push God out of society. Make the government the most important thing in people's lives. If you can't see that happening, you're blind. Two, get rid of religion. Out of institutions, out of hospitals, out of schools, and institute state-run curriculum. If you can't see that, you are blind. And the final one is to take away private property. If we didn't see that happen when COVID hit, how many of our simple freedoms we just surrendered? Not to mention the debt of America, not to mention the debt of personal debt of people. Few people really truly own anything. If you can't see the destruction of the family through the LGBTQ community, which is destroying authentic masculinity and authentic femininity, the dignity of marriage and the sanctity of life, you're blind. Trans women in women's sports, gay marriage, children drag shows. And yet, we have Christians, Catholics, who support this. Identity politics is what will destroy America, just as it destroyed Germany in the 30s, China in the 40s, and Russia was the beginning. If you didn't identify with the Nazis, what happened? You were canceled. You were imprisoned, and you were killed. If you didn't identify with the Communist Party, what happened? You were canceled, imprisoned, and killed. Did you know that the first prison camp of Nazi Germany was Dachau? And that prison camp, you know who it was built to house? Anybody? It wasn't built to house Jews. Political prisoners. Those that dared to step up and defy the Nazi regime from a different side. They were the first ones. Then the intellectuals were canceled. And after that, indoctrination just went rampant through the country. The Nazi Party, the Red Party of China, the Bolsheviks of Russia were treated better. So there was pressure to become communists because there were incentives. And people would do anything they could to keep that status. They would rat out their neighbors, their own family members. Destroy private property, riot, whatever it took, just to take and keep that status. And then what would happen? Well, the culture would affirm them. They were cool. They were given incentives that other people were not. The social environment was reconstructed to reinforce that. The schooling system was reconstructed to enforce that. And the last piece of the puzzle that all of them needed was the church. That was the third and final piece. And it's happening right now. In the book of Genesis, it says that we were created male and female. We were created in his image and likeness. How can we, Bible-believing Christians and Catholics, be so blind to actually think it's okay for a man to become a woman and a woman to become a man? Or worse yet, what does it matter? Love is love. And people have the right to do whatever they want. Don't judge. Don't hate. Tolerate. How can we as believing Christians be that blind to say that men competing in women's sports is not only okay, but fair
Or worse, men using women's locker rooms. That's progressive. We not only affirm this, but some Christians and Catholics champion it. And what has it done to our children? Your children. Right now, Generation Z, right, which is the younger, I'm X. Some of you are baby boomers, some of you are Y. Generation Z, they just did a study. 30% of Generation Z identifies as LGBTQ. A third. Why? Because they really struggle with it? Or because there's incentives? Because you become cool when you do it? Because people look at you? Because you get hits on TikTok? Because you get all your followers? Because you become a trendsetter? How? How is this? It's because, you guys, everybody's been indoctrinated. We've been lied to. We have politicians in the Bismarck-Mandan area who are fighting for the age of consent for transitioning surgery to be lowered to 14. Christians are doing this. And they're coming. Heck, they're already here. Don't be blind and don't pretend it's not happening. It's happening in our public schools. Don't be blind. I'm not saying there's not good teachers and there's good students and those teachers are fighting a heroic fight. But we know it. We know it. Because it's controlled by the government. And it's promoting ideals we do not agree with. And an agenda that is anti-Christian. In fact, it is anti-Christ. And if we are not careful, they will convert all. In many cases, they already have. And if you and I, if we don't accept this agenda, we're hated. We're a threat to America. We're silenced. We're canceled. Does this sound familiar? You guys, it is only 80 years. We are only 80 years removed from Nazi Germany. We are only 100 years removed from three of the most detrimental regimes to humanity that have ever existed. Stalin's Russia, Mao's China, and Hitler's Germany. This is not a distant memory. And the trends of those regimes are happening now. And we know it. And if you don't, you're blind. Or maybe you're just forcing your blindness. You don't want to see. You don't want to look. Why? Because it's going to trouble you too much. It's going to cost you too much. And so it's easy just to do what's comfortable. Not make too many waves. Because to speak out would cost us. You guys, modern day Marxist ideology and propaganda have taken over our institutions. And most of us just stand and do nothing. Actually, we do something. We complain. But we don't act. We don't question our legislators and hold them accountable. We don't band together and take back our public school boards. We don't work together to elect local people that really stand for the truths that we believe in. We just elect the same person over and over and over. If I gotta vote, I'll go vote. Instead of seeing it as a sacred right that most of the world doesn't get to have. And that sacred right was entrusted to the people of America to protect America. Not to be lazy. Do we speak up in our friend groups about the truths of what we believe? Or do we shy away because we might offend? God forbid we might offend. When the Catholic Church has been offended countless times and nobody says anything. All of these will cost you, but I have this line I heard in a song and it is rung true in my heart and it's this. It is better to have fought and lost than to have never fought at all. I'll go down swinging with this one. I will not be on the wrong side of history. And I fear if we don't do something, it will begin to cost us our lives.
And you can say, Father, you're being dramatic. It's not dramatic. It's costing families their children. The government steps in and divides children from their families because their parents say, no, we don't want this. And the kid says, yes, we do. And they side with the child. It's killed that family. It's killing our young people, and it will kill us. Right now, it's what we call a white martyrdom, which means you stand up and get canceled and yelled at and hated for what you believe in. Soon, if we don't do anything, it will be what we call a red martyrdom. The only necessary thing for evil to triumph in society is for good men and women to do nothing. Complaining is a luxury. Anybody can do that. Anybody can diagnose the problem. But to do something about it demands sacrifice. And if we don't do something about it soon, there'll be nothing left to fight for. I know I've quoted this to you, but I want to give it again because it's one of my favorite quotes. It was from Martin Niemöller. He's a Christian pastor, and he was in Nazi prison camp from 1937 to 1945. He said this, "First they came for the socialists, and I didn't say anything because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak." We need to come back to God's law, God's truth, and our beliefs on the sanctity of human life, the dignity of the human person, and the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. And we got to help others to see how to do it as well. That's the Christian way. We've been silent too long. So I have diagnosed the problem, and I said, what are you going to do about it? At the entrance to each of the doors of the church, I have this sheet of paper that I wrote up some ideas about what you can do. And this will cost you. But it is time that we have faithful people in places of leadership. For far too long, we have just let it ride. And evil has slowly creeped in. And now it's pouring in. But there's still hope. There's always hope. I just watched the movie Mother Cabrini last night. If you get a chance to go to it, go. It's fabulous. That one little woman was like a Tasmanian devil. She just went to work with no fear. And she changed the world. And she created what she called an empire of hope. And my favorite line of that movie is this. The Archbishop looks at her and said, "Mother, you're extremely bold, maybe even foolish." And she looked back and said, "Either we're bold or we die. So be bold and speak loudly." Jesus, help us to see again. Recreate our vision as you did for the blind man in today's gospel, so that we can see the evil around us and do something to fight back. And reestablish your kingdom in this country, which is so far from light and truth. Help us to be bold and courageous.